Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode 39 for August 19th, 2009.
To the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site we created and dedicated to the serious, but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And this is our weekly podcast where we dredge the internet, pull up our nets,
and harvest.
And harvest what we've caught. And today, wriggling around, is Sean Lysium Sands from Gamers with Jobs, and he wrote an article called Breaking the Mirror, in which he explores the difference between graphics and the concept of art design. And the final sentence of the article really sums up, in essence, what he's talking about. And he writes that gritty realism isn't why I play video games anymore. Maybe it once was, probably back when such a thing wasn't really possible. You have the power to create worlds. Why would you just make one that already exists? So, and the point being is that there's now so many opportunities and so much technology at the disposal of developers. You can now focus on creating an interesting world and an interesting art design rather than aspiring to what we already live in, which right. is the real world. And so to make a game more visually, more interesting, more sophisticated might not actually mean fidelity in the sense of reality.
Right. I could see that.
And so basically, we just kind of wanted to explore this idea a little bit and bring in maybe some recent examples of games we've been playing that either do this, what Sean is talking about, either maybe they have a certain distinct art style or a unique take on something that we've seen before, or maybe also some, maybe we've been playing some games recently. I don't know what you've been playing, but maybe games that would have been better served if they tried to be more unique rather than more photorealistic.
Right.
Yeah. So do you want to start off with games, or should we start off by like talking a little bit about the actual concept behind this? Because do you think it's always a hard and fast rule?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm always the type of person who will, say, well, it always depends.
Yeah. Right?
But I do think that it's important that we veer away from that need for realism, not even just gritty realism. You could have a scene in which, you know, it's not, because I almost feel as if there are moments where the grittiness is too real, you know. Mm-hmm. So if we looked at film, for example, there are a lot of things that they don't show in film. You know, they don't show someone taking a crap or something. You know, it happens, but you don't have to show it. You don't have to show everything, right? Because realism isn't showing everything. It's showing the aspects that are important that we pay attention to, right?
Well, even in a smaller, more mundane level, like, no one has freckles on TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's completely unrealistic, because they just make people up.
Also, there are very few colored people on television.
That's true. I mean, the world, well, I mean, you know, like, especially if you're going to look at, like, primetime television, right? It's just a bunch of white folks standing around in swanky apartments.
Yeah, and it's only a few locations. It's yeah. really bizarre. But if we take this same approach and say, look at something like maybe Gears of War, which isn't incredibly realistic in terms of the character models, but in terms of that grittiness, right, that desire to show all of the dust and the grime and whatnot, it's not really entirely necessary, at least in a lot of other games too. I don't care that much about looking at the sweat falling off of someone's head.
I think where this idea of maybe realism is a little bit too much, maybe photorealism is just going a bit too far, is not so much a problem in individual games, but I think it's a problem when you get too much of it.
Yeah.
Because when you have a bunch of games coming out one after another, and they're all about brown and gray particle effects and war zones, I think it's more of a fatigue issue rather than people not actually liking it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Gears of War, I think that art style is good in that game. I think it works, and I think it improves the game.
I agree wholeheartedly, yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of wish more games would maybe take a more fanciful approach to something like that.
A little
that.
Bit more unicorns, some more pastels,
well, it, maybe. The thing is, it's contextual. Like, when you're playing things like Killzone 2, and then maybe you go back to Call of Duty, and then, you know, then you play Gears of War again. They all start looking the same after a while. Even Far Cry, which in some parts is very lush, when you're around in one of the cities or around in one of the towns or shanty towns or whatever, it's all, you know, there's gray, there's particle effects. It's just kind of, it looks like a lot of different shooters.
Right.
Which wasn't the way earlier when we didn't have this kind of potential to make those worlds.
I could see that. I mean,
I don't think it's necessarily the game's fault that it's doing that. I think it just, I think you reach kind of a critical mass, you know, and people get fatigued, people get tired out.
Yeah, I agree. But it's funny because at some points you do want to see that. You kind of want to show off, you know?
Yeah.
And there are those moments. So one example is water effects.
Mm.
It's so funny that games reach like a high mark depending on how well their water effects are done.
Yeah.
So I've been playing Battlefield 1943.
Mm.
Excellent water. When I'm walking by and you see the shimmer and the sand below, it looks really great.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, they do water really well, therefore, you know, it's a really nice game.
Mm.
So something like Heavy Rain that's coming out in the future, they've shown so many cinematics and like little pictures.
There better be water effects in Heavy Rain.
Exactly. Wet. Also, is another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny that water and things that are wet equals technological success.
Yeah.
And you show off and you say, look what we can do. And it's impressive. You know, it's just after a long game, you know, 20 hours of this, and you're like, God, everyone's still wet. What's the deal? You know, I don't know. I think that there's something to say for the technological success of a game that looks really good.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think it can lead into the thematic resonance of it. Because I've been thinking a lot about Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare recently, and if that game looked like Team Fortress 2 with the same content, I don't think I would interpret it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, like, it does matter. Like, the art design matters, and part of that art design is its aspiration to photorealism.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, which is basically still agreeing with Elysium's point. You know, I mean, the art design is really important when you're trying to create some kind of feel for the game. It's just that you need to know what you're going to do with it. You know, you need to know what art design will fit best with the game, and kind of trying to plug in a realistic thing in a game where it might not need it. I don't know. Like, I think that I think that some game, possibly like Fear 2 maybe, it's all about supernatural things. I would have been okay for that game to look a bit more like Ghostbusters-esque type thing, you know?
Yeah, but the realism is more frightening than the Ghostbusters-esque, right? They want you to be scared by contrasting realism with spooky visual effects.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess I didn't really get too
Ghostbusters is not scary. I mean,
have you played the newest Ghostbusters?
No, I have not. So I hear that might be frightening.
It was. And there's like these very cartoony ghosts, and it's kind of over the top, but and they do scares by doing, you know, pop out
jump
things
scares,
or jump scares or just kind of creepy effects. And yeah, sure, everything looks a little bit cartoony and so forth, but it's more of an atmospheric choice, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there's also some games that are very either low-tech as far as the graphics are concerned or simplistic as far as the visuals are concerned, but I think are wildly successful. One of the games that comes to mind when I think about this is Pixel Junk Eden. And
gorgeous game.
Yeah, and it's not like, I'm sure it's very complicated to make, but the effect is very simple. The textures are all very simple. It's a lot of clean lines. There's not a huge number of, you know, weird, crazy bloom effects. But I think it really fits what they were trying to do with that game. It's almost an impressionistic game, I feel like.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Are there any games that you can think of that are maybe simple, but are served well by that simplicity?
Yeah, and I think a good example also in this kind of this contrast between realistic fidelity and visual effects is the Tales of Monkey Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing the original Tale of Monkey Island, and they redid the graphics.
Yeah.
And the cartoon aspect of it fits really well. It's a really pretty game.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it adds that type of jovial feel that the game calls for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because I've heard that some people really dislike the new effects and will revert it back to the old, very pixelated effects.
Mm-hmm.
LB Jeffries, another, you know, blogger in arms, said that he didn't really like, I'm pretty sure it was him, said that he did not like the new effects, and he would only play it with the old effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weirds me out because I feel like I don't know, I didn't notice that much of a difference, and I don't think that they are particularly artistically different. I don't think that they're...
Maybe. I mean, like, the old ones were kind of going more for realism.
Yeah.
It was pixelated realism, but it's very stylized in the remake.
I guess, but I guess what they're doing with the remake is taking the limitations from the pixelated version and just saying, well, this is now our style. What before was our limitations is now the aesthetic approach.
So, I mean, one of the things that I often think about in terms of this question is, do you think that necessity is the mother of invention here? Like, sometimes I feel like the tools to make games have gotten so advanced that the very possibility of doing something that is really flashy and in super high resolution means that it will be done, whether or not it's a good idea.
Definitely in the remake angle.
Yeah. You
know, people expect newer and shinier graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So when they redid Tales of Monkey Island, absolutely, that's completely, it's almost necessary in terms of just bringing in a new audience to say, look, we're not selling you the same old game, we've redone the visual effects. But at the same time, they recognize some players are going to not like that, and therefore give them the aspects to move back. But, I mean, I think that you see the same thing when you hear PR stooges talk about sequels. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, oh, we upped the graphics for Assassin's Creed 2.
Or to the nth degree.
To the nth degree. Like, you know, our visuals are even more stunning and visceral, you know? it's kind of a, you kind of have to say, look, we're breaking new ground here visually.
Uh-huh.
And even in terms of aesthetic approaches, in terms of things that are not gritty realism, I think you still see that trend. I think you still see people say, well, we have a unique visual approach. There's very few people that say, our visual approach fits the game, but it's nothing new. You know, it's pretty nice. I like it. You know, I don't think you see that very often.
Well, I mean, of course, you have to be a spokesperson for your game. I mean, that only makes sense. But a lot of times when I'm playing Wii games, for example, Super Mario Galaxy, I think is an excellent looking game.
I agree.
But I think one of the reasons why is that they had to spend a lot of time kind of crafting the world, because there isn't an unlimited possibility with what they could do on the hardware as opposed to the PS3 or the 360. But, I mean, I think Mario Galaxy looks a lot better than a whole bunch of PS3, PC, and 360 games.
Yeah.
And it's because of how carefully they crafted the artwork. You know, not only from a technical perspective, but everything fits in that world. Everything has the same rounded motifs. Everything has the same logical color schemes within the universe of that world. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And I think it requires people to be more careful when they know that there are limits. You know, it forces people to think about what they should do within the context of the game rather than using reality as a benchmark.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Wii is interesting because you see a lot of, I think you see a lot of that, actually. Some games that take a really cool visual approach because they essentially have to, because they don't have the ability to have that graphical fidelity.
Yeah.
You know, No More Heroes, I think, had a cool visual approach. Mm-hmm. Okami.
Yeah.
Mad World. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these games that said, well, we're not going to be able to do something amazing on the Wii, so let's do what we are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I mean, Okami was already a PlayStation game, so they already did that once before, but, you know.
But I think even the way that we're thinking about it, like you said, we're not going to do something amazing. We've linked amazing so closely with photorealism.
Yes.
You know, even the way that just kind of slips off your tongue, like, oh, we're not going to do anything amazing. The connotation is, we're not going to do anything photorealistic. This is not going to be running at 1080p, you know. But the hope is that we can decouple the idea of amazing graphics with photorealism.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to completely abandon it. That just means that art design is more important. Like, in Little Big Planet, I think, is a great example of a marriage of those two ideas. Like, that game is gorgeous because the wood and the cloth and the rubber all
is
look
realistic.
Exactly. Yeah, they look exactly what they're supposed to look like
they're
in real life.
Masters of texture.
But they're in this fantastic world, and the art design of the world makes sense. You know, this isn't just flash for the sake of flash. And it's also, you know, it's not 3D. They stuck to a 2D design. Like, it's very deliberate as to how they constructed it.
Right.
And so you can still incorporate technology when it makes sense to do so. But, you know, in something, and I see this a lot in DS games, now that I'm playing a few more DS games, I always like it when there's not a whole bunch of polygons on the DS, because I don't think that's the strength of the DS. Like, I'm playing Henry Hatsworth right now, and it's sprites all over the place, and they're great looking sprites.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, it makes the game better looking for that. You know, I don't want to be playing some cheesy, like, pre-rendered, I mean, some cheesy, like, Mode 7 style, like, racing game or something. Like, I think that with a game like that, it makes sense for them to take a look at the sprite technology and what they can pull out of that.
Yeah.
And then just make a world that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think a game that would be interesting to talk about in the case of what happens to a game as time passes is Majora's Mask, because we've both been playing that recently. And how do you feel like the art design and the graphical fidelity has held up over the years? Because now that game's like 10 years old almost.
Yeah. It's weird because I see it as an older game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see them trying to aspire to the levels of photorealism now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that older games are almost easier to swallow than newer games that try and fail, simply because I know that they're not going to achieve that. And I think there are certain aspects of Majora's Mask that are so far from photorealistic that, you know, it's not something that is jarring. You know, even Link's character model is kind of, you know, he's got the silly green hat, and he's got that type of almost childish style. The Goron people, very similar. So I think it holds up, actually. I think Wind Waker and they played Phantom Hourglass will also hold up for a long time, because they have that kind of unique appeal that, you know, maybe Majora's Mask isn't as unique, but it doesn't mean that, at least from my point of view, that it's jarring because it's trying to do something and failing.
That's an interesting, it's unexpected, because as I go back and play it, I haven't played it for years now, I see what they were doing at the time, and I remember being really impressed when I first saw Epona riding across Hyrule Fields and how great that looked. And now going back on it now, it really, for me, it feels very dated. Like, this is very much a product of the nascent world of 3D gaming.
Yeah, but, I mean, can you hold that against it at this point?
I mean, you can, well, I mean, here's the thing. You can hold it against it in historical terms, because they knew that the technology was going to change, and it's a big gamble to try to pour everything you can into realism when you know that 10 years down the line, your realism will look nothing like reality.
I see. Well, I mean, do you feel the same way about games that are even more realistic than Majora's Mask from around the same period? Something like, I don't know, I mean, you know, I know GoldenEye doesn't age well, but maybe even a later game, maybe a PlayStation 2 game?
That's the problem with chasing this phantom of realism. Like, you'll never catch it, and you'll always be behind, and at the end of the day you'll always lose because it'll pass you so far, and what looked really great at the time won't look so hot later on. It's kind of a false quest you're going on. I mean, you're not ever gonna find what you're looking for,
right? Which is why something that has that unique twist, like, I think even Fear 2 with its gritty realism will still be seen as a decent game from the eyes of people playing future games that are far more realistic, if for no other reason than Fear 2 has some really cool visual effects during the hauntings and
it bizarre. Has some cool visual effects now, but when I think when we look back on it, we'll be like, oh, that's kind of cheesy. Like, well, how come we don't have that kind of texture, and how come it didn't, you know, do this with the character model or something? Like,
but
it's so hard to predict what we'll be able to do.
Right, but does that include the fantastical elements? Like, take a game that is really realistic but has some crazy fantastical elements, like Pagel.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. I know a game comes to the top of my mind.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it has to be about the style. There's some parts of Majora's Mask that still make sense because they're about creatures. You know, the Gorons will always look a little bit better than the water effects.
Right.
Like, the trees in Majora's Mask don't look that great because they're dated. You know, there's some parts of Majora's Mask, like the grass textures or the brick textures on the wall, that at the time looked really good. But because they were aspiring to something that actually exists, and now we're better at representing that, it starts to look a little bit less impressive in retrospect.
Well, but then what about, like, the older RPGs, like Final Fantasies 7 and whatnot?
Again, it's not polygonal. It was already stylized.
Yeah, but take a look at something, one of the earlier Final Fantasies, like Final Fantasy 7 or 8.
Oh, you know,
way more realistic than Final Fantasy 9. And I think
9 holds up way better, in my opinion.
But see, this is so funny to me, because I think 9 holds up less, and maybe it's because the game isn't as good, or maybe...
How dare you, sir?
Maybe the story isn't as fun, but the visual appeal is so I don't know. Maybe it's too unique. Maybe it's too stylized.
It could be. Have you played Final Fantasy VII recently?
Not within the past 2 years.
I would suggest you take another playthrough just quickly because it will look...
Quickly?
It'll
There's
look,
no such thing as...
Well, I mean, even if you do the initial... The intro, the train intro, it will look surprisingly dated. I mean, the pre-rendered backgrounds will still look great, but the figures themselves will pop out even more than you remembered them to pop out.
Yeah.
Because we've gone so far past what was being done in 1997, it'll look completely different to you.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I think another thing, at least from my point of view, is Final Fantasy IX had a very strange artistic direction,
mm-hmm.
but it was still fairly realistic in its depiction of bizarre things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just bizarre things, but it's how you present that, right?
Yeah.
Like, Braid has a unique art style mm-hmm. beyond its what they're choosing to put in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The painting itself is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something that will hold up akin to the Wind Waker, because even the mundane things are unique. Whereas in something like maybe Final Fantasy IX, the mundane things like a table or a chair aren't so unique, so they seem to be a bit more dated. But when everything is stylized, when everything is its own universe and you get to divorce yourself completely from the world that you live in, I believe that we give those games more slack because they exist unto themselves rather than as a strange mirror.
I see.
To what we're doing.
I just think that you get some games that are, you know, maybe they're both visually appealing and have a strange aesthetic that I'm not so sure how long they'll last. You know, something like Team Fortress 2, really unique style. I think it's a great game. And it's not trying for gritty realism. However, if they redid the graphics engine for Team Fortress 2 and made the aesthetics even cooler looking, even though they're bizarre aesthetics, maybe we would go back and still have a hard time appreciating that, despite the fact that they're not aiming for realism. You see what I'm saying?
If they just made it more sophisticated in their fantastic world.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I think that maybe it's less the aesthetic approach and just copying anything. You know, if a game is made again in the future with better graphics in any way, shape, or form, going back to the older version is going to be difficult.
You can never go home again.
You can never go home again.
Wow, what a depressing note to end the podcast on.
It's kind of not, because, I mean, if anything, there are still things that wow us, you know? And the realism, like you said, is not so much that it's a bad thing in and of itself, but it's that the tedium.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And as long as we encourage people to continue trying new things, and you do get that a lot,
particularly
with indie games doing a lot of their own unique styles. And, you know, maybe they're not realistic or even very nice graphics for their aesthetic approach.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, you know what, this works for this game, and you're good to go.
And also, historically, at this point in gaming, we've gotten to a point where you can take old ideas, like something like Bit Trip Beat or something like that, and then make a new game out of it. And it can either be an homage or it can be inspired by. And all of a sudden, those things that once looked dated are kind of reinvented and reinvigorated.
Yeah.
So it's more of an appreciation rather than just discarding something that's old. You can pick something back up from the past and reintegrate it in a new way.
I've been playing on the iPhone Space Invaders Infinity Gene.
Yeah.
And that is a really cool approach because it has that classic pixelated look. And then it's got some crazy Chemical Brothers nuttiness going on, you know?
Yeah.
With crazy disco weirdness, and it's cool, even though they're not aiming for something that is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the art design is just becoming more and more important as we see that realism for the sake of realism is just diminishing returns.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that it's only going to be more improved upon and experimented with as we look at a life cycle of consoles that is increasingly long.
Yeah.
You know, since we're not going to be getting a Xbox 360 next year, the fact that we're getting more and more new approaches to a system because we've already kind of, you know, we've done that with what we've got in terms of capabilities, you know.
Yeah, the tail gets longer so you can kind of loop back and take a look at some old ideas and utilize them again rather than just kind of leaving them. All right, sounds good. So if you want to write in with your thoughts on the idea of realism, fantasy, any kind of visuals, you can write in at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
Also, experiencepoints.blogspot.com is the site, of course. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings with our own writings. We encourage you to give it a look and leave your comments. We always appreciate them.
And if there's anything you folks find on the internet that you'd be interested to hear us talk about, or just to start a conversation on the site, go ahead and send us an email or leave a comment with a link, and we'll do it. All right, until next time.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.